Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. 10 past 4 is the time here on AWR. We are actually trying to get a hold of Pastor Munyuki, who is supposed to be joining us right about now to talk about marriage and the family. He's already on the line. Pastor Munyuki, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
Oh, well, I'm very, very fine. I hope you are well, too, wherever you are there.
We are very well. Thank you so much. Well, this afternoon, we are talking to you about, the fundamental belief of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that talks about marriage and the family. And, of course, we're going to be doing so for the next 3 days until we get to Friday, the preparation day. So, just as God is a relational God, He created humanity for relationship as well. So Seventh-day Adventist Christians should uphold God's biblical counsel for healthy relationships and happy homes. Strong families are foundational to a thriving church and a close-knit community. So we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about marriages and families this segment until Friday. So Pastor, as we kick off this conversation with you, where and when was the Institute of Marriage established?
Well, that's a very good question. Where and when was marriage instituted? Well, you find that we have to begin at the very beginning, of course, in the book of Genesis. That's where it all starts. And Jesus affirms also in some other passages of Scripture. So marriage was basically started by God Himself. And how did He start it? He started by creating man. I think it's one thing we need to impress upon our minds, which is, dying down a bit these days, that man was created by God in His own image. So if you go to the book of Genesis chapter 2, it tells you that, God formed man of the dust of the ground, Genesis 2 verse 7, and then He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And after that, God decided, I'm just fast forwarding because of our time, that man should not be alone, but, in court, I will find him a suitable helpmeet. So that is when God began marriage in the book of Genesis, of course, chapter 2, where it all begins. And, for sure that Adam was, given a long sleep, and from his rib was extracted the portion that a lady was made out of, a woman was made out of, and her name was called Eve. So in summary, marriage was started by God. Read Genesis chapter 2, read Matthew chapter 19. Jesus talks at length about it.
Yeah. Now, in Genesis, are you talking about Adam and Eve? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, sure. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. Now, should you want to understand anything about marriage, anything about mankind, you always go back to where it all started. And so Adam and Eve were the first people to be on earth, and they were also the first couple to be on earth. A very happy couple indeed.
Were they married?
Well, maybe the term marriage may be very tricky because some people are very analytical, but we can safely say yes, they were married because they were joined together by God. I think it is well said by Jesus. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus has a discourse on that particular issue of marriage, but he is referring back to the book of Genesis, of course, and
what
he
says
here. He says, yeah, when he was given a question by some Pharisees about, whether it was lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause for that matter, verse 4 says, and he answered and said unto them, you guys, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So what happened first was God made them male and female before he put them together. And he goes on to say, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, so the act of becoming one flesh, the act of leaving your family and cleaving to your wife to become one flesh is what we can technically call marriage. So in short, they were married, Adam and Eve, yes.
It's a technical issue, though, because Because we're going to be talking about marriage the next 3 days, and we've got to understand the basics and the basis of what forms a marriage exactly, so that as we go along, we then are able to understand it. So you are saying, by virtue of God creating male and then later on creating a female, and that then automatically becomes a marriage?
Not really. Well, I think you understand where I'm coming from here. When you see a man and a woman, they are not married. They are just men and a woman, just like brother and sister. But this act of marriage was solemnized by God. In other words, God is the one who commanded that the man should cleave to his wife, and then they become one flesh. So that becoming one flesh doesn't happen between a brother and a sister. It doesn't happen between a woman and a lady. It happens between, a woman and a man. It happens between people chosen by God to be in a matrimony. So it becomes a holy matrimony. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, Adam and Eve were married in the sense that God gave Eve unto Adam so that he can become his wife, not his biological sister, but his wife. So that is now what we call marriage. Marriage is between a husband and a wife, a woman and a man. That is what it is. I wish
I wish we had time to actually interrogate exactly that. But we're going to move right along. Perhaps in the near future, we will actually get to that and actually unpack exactly what you've just said. But let's go along. So what would you say then is the purpose of marriage?
Well, again, that's a very excellent question, because, you know, we have a challenge where people don't understand the purpose of marriage. People marry for different reasons. Some marry because they're just lonely. Some marry because they just need somebody to wash the dishes for them and stuff like that. Some marry because they want children. But of course, well, the purpose of marriage has got no single purpose. It's got many purposes.
Okay.
But one of them, of course, when it comes to Adam, was clearly the fact that Adam needed a helpmeet. So Jesus said, God said, I will make a suitable helpmeet for him. In other words, it is, complementing one another in a holy matrimony that is ordained by God. Marriage is meant by God to raise children in a godly way where they can thrive, you know, under guidance by, you know, family, I mean, by, family members, the father and the mother, especially, who fear God. A marriage also serves the purpose of procreation, because children are not supposed to be born outside marriage, you know, the way these young people do these days. It's not the plan of God. Really. That's why you find we've got many children who are misfits in the society, who grow up to be criminals and stuff like that. So marriage, Genesis chapter 1, we always go back there. I'm going to read a very famous text, of course, known by many, and it's Genesis 1, verse 27. The Bible says, he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. So one of the purposes of marriage is to make sure that we replenish the earth, we, you know, multiply, we give birth to children. But you realize that in the time we live in, not all people are able to have children for different, you know, biological reasons. So marriage serves a deeper purpose than that, which is also, you know, to lead a person to heaven. It is in marriage that you begin to see the character of God. So I will immediately go, before you stop me, I know the time is up.
No, go ahead, it's okay.
I will immediately go to Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul talks about marriage in a symbolical sense. He says, verse 22, wives, submit unto your own husbands. And then he goes on to 25, says, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church. And when you read, you know, down there, Paul then says, I'm not talking about marriage. Of course, you can pick some lessons about marriage. Yeah, it's very important. But I'm talking about the relationship between, you know, Christ and his church. You know, so marriage has got a bigger a lesson that we must learn, and it is how Christ relates, you know, to his church. And, you know, I tell you, if all men understand this part we are talking about, then they would love their wives, you know, they would love their women. They wouldn't treat them bad, because Jesus loved the church, even though it had its own, shortcomings. So marriage is a symbol of, the deep relationship between Christ and his church. So in order to understand how Jesus loves the church, marriage will give somebody a better understanding of that. So beyond all these other benefits of marriage, there is also a deeper lesson in that, which is the relationship of Jesus and his church. And it is said throughout the Bible, you know, God calls his church his wife, you know, he calls his church his bride, you know, so that is what marriage is about, which is why we don't have to tarnish the institution of marriage, you know, by giving men to marry men, women to marry men, and all sorts of rubbish that is done in these, you know, marriages today. We need to keep it as solemn as it is, you know, as solemn as God made it in the beginning.
Right. Thank you for that. I'm listening to you as you are, and you know, unpacking the purpose of marriage, and I'm getting two main reasons or purposes for marriage. One is to put out an example of a relationship between God and the church or His people. So that's one. So that's pertaining salvation truly. If you come before the fall, before the need of salvation, etc., you seem to be suggesting that marriage was for procreation. I don't find you to be talking about any other purpose of marriage besides procreation, correct?
We can say procreation, of course, but you need to remember that there is when God gave Eve to Adam. I'm using this very understanding I have because I'm also married. I've been married for quite some time now. When God gave Eve to Adam, he says Adam was lonely. Okay, I think if you picture the chapter there, you know, put it in your memory, I'm sure you begin to imagine what is happening there in Genesis. Maybe let's just quickly go there. So the Bible speaks on its own, so we don't speak on behalf of the Bible. Now I'm rushing to Genesis chapter 2 there to hunt for that particular, you know, verse that I am I'm going to talk about. Now verse 18 says, and the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him," you know. So basically the Bible is saying the man was alone. So marriage is also there before the fall to counter, you know, the alone part, if I may call it that way here. So God is saying one purpose of marriage there before the fall, which is not only to procreate, is, you know, to counter the alone, you know, part there of man. Man was alone, I'll make him and help meet. So marriage was to join the man who's alone and the lady or the woman who is then going to be the helpmeet there. So that's basically what marriage is about. And I'm sure marriage is there to counter loneliness, though some people may choose to dispute that fact. You know, man really needs a wife, you know, according to God's original plan there. Yeah, so before the fall, there was no sin, there was no church to talk about and stuff like that. But so now marriage is there, you know, to make sure that man has got a helpmeet, you know, somebody to stick around with him, somebody to talk to, somebody to share love with, and somebody to, you know, give you know, the attention that is necessary, somebody to give you know, the I cannot speak all about what Adam was going to give to Eve, but there's surely a lot we cannot talk about now.
So what you're effectively saying, and I want to now put it in today's language. So if a young man is grown, he's now old enough to leave home and is living by himself, and he finds himself bored, he can then get a wife.
Not really. well, that's another one there, but no, not really. You know, marriage, like anything else, has to happen in God's time, not your time. It has to happen in God's time. So we ought to understand the basics of chapter 2. It is not, I'm not limiting the mind of man that God gave unto him, but I'm saying it is not man who decides, now I'm going to marry. If you are following God, you know, closely there, God will decide for you. But how does he decide? You will see the necessity and God will lead you in his way. So the Bible says, submit your ways unto the Lord and he will direct your paths. So marriage has, you know, to be started by God. It is not started by boredom, by loneliness, by anything else. It is started by God. But of course, you know, a byproduct of marriage is countering loneliness. It is countering boredom. But notice I said that is a byproduct, but it's not the major function of marriage. Marriage has to be there to show you that God loves you, to show you, you know, that God cares for you, to show you and to make you understand what it feels like to be God loving somebody else who's got some shortcomings. You know, I go to understand marriage in that concept. Like, you know, when I look at my wife, for example,
I'm looking at somebody who's 40, somebody who's got strengths and weaknesses. And then I put myself in the shoes of God and I'm like, okay, I have to love this person regardless of her weaknesses. And I have to control her weaknesses, maybe try to make her better in a loving way. That's exactly what God, you know, does to all of us. He loves us, he controls us, he rebukes us, he chastens us, but he does everything in his love. So marriage, even back in the time of Adam and Eve, what was still serving, you know, more or less the same purpose, though there was no salvation to talk about at that time because men had not sinned. That was before Genesis chapter 3. Adam had to be in the shoes of God to love somebody, to care for somebody, you know, to cherish somebody. Remember, Adam was made in the image of God, and God was loving Adam, and Adam needed to love somebody else the same way God loved him as well. So there is really a lot, you know, to talk about when it comes to marriage and what it symbolizes in the Bible.
Interesting, interesting indeed. Now, Pastor, what really makes marriage a marriage? You know, is it the certificate? I mean, we're talking these days. You guys who are marriage officers will stand there and you will make some pronouncements and give out certificates. You know, and in the African context, we are looking at one family going to another, and they would pay dowry, or what we call a ilobolo. So where does marriage begin? I mean, you've clearly, you know, explained it when it began. God gives Adam a wife, as it were, and their husband and wife, he says, be fruitful and multiply, etc., etc. Thousands of years later, where is the moment where a marriage begins? Is it where the pastor declares it? Where is it? Is it the point of lobola, or is it a point of marriage certificate?
Yeah, surely. Well, marriage has got a long story, honestly. But you know, with the changing times, of course, things will change all the time. These days, you have to find a girl that you probably feel is good, God guiding you. Don't forget, God guiding you. And then you plan to marry in Africa, you know, sub-Saharan Africa, especially you pay lobola, get to know the relatives and stuff like that. But I want to talk about the spiritual side, of course, I think, which is very important. Marriage, we must underline, is between a man and a woman. It is not between a boy and a girl. I think that is to be very clear, because there are many people who marry when they are still boys and girls, not yet mature enough to run a house. Marriage begins when you choose somebody you commit your life to, you know, somebody you give a lifelong commitment to. That's when marriage begins. And of course, you know, in Christian circles, like we Adventists, we believe, of course, that, you know, the pastor will pronounce before, you know, an audience that these are now husband and wife, and then you do some legal processes as well. Mm-hmm. And we thank God that our legal body still recognize that marriage has got to be somebody which is solemnized not only by God, but even by the society as well. And so we have, you know, judges, we've got lawyers who are responsible for ensuring documents are made, you know, that will speak to the fact that you are now husband and wife. But these documents are very important. Yes, we must not underestimate that. But what is more important is the commitment. It is the love that begins when you, you know, commit yourself to somebody, of course, under the guidance of a pastor. And I'll speak also to some who are not Adventists, under the guidance of anybody who is given the authority by the law, of course, to institute, rather to say that this is now a marriage. So your question, marriage, is it about the certificate? Is it about the lobola? It is not about all that. It is about the fact that God said a man should leave his family and cleave to his wife and then become a lifelong relationship of love, caring for one another, of compassion, you know, of understanding, of lifting each other's burdens, and of being faithful to one another as well as we are faithful to God. So marriage has got one of these very important lessons. I may digress a bit. And that lesson is to, you know, fully commit to somebody, be faithful to somebody, you know, just as much as we don't worship other gods. For the Bible says, thou shalt not worship any other gods before me. So I would say that as a law of marriage, thou shalt not love anybody else other than your wife the way you love your wife in a romantic relationship.
Well, Pastor, I think for today we are going to end it right there. We're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place. But today's introduction was quite eye-opening, and I do want to thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. May God bless you.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.